Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
All right, and we are back.
Hello, hello.
Hello. After a brief hiatus, the Tom and Tim Show is back on the air, live from Bernal Heights.
I'll be back. Well, I want to start, because I know some of our listeners have expressed this to me, our condolences to our loyal friend Tim Redmond and his family on the loss of his wonderful, wonderful mother. She was involved in union struggles and...
Yep, she became a union organizer in her 70s, built a union basically from the ground up at the community college where she worked, and stayed with it until almost the day she died.
I heard you had some travails, because with every bit of sad news, there's always some humor that the family finds, but I think you had some travails with the Catholic Church.
Trying to schedule a Catholic funeral, if you're not... in there. I mean, it would have been hard enough in San Francisco. She died at 94, which, as I say, is sad but not tragic, in Philadelphia. And then they have so many rules, Tom. The Catholic Church has so many rules. You can be cremated, but only in these circumstances. The ashes have to be placed here. You can't do the funeral this. You can't do the funeral if you're not your parishioner. But if you're not on the books, you can't do this. You can't have the priest you want. I mean, it's so complicated.
So typically oppressive.
So here I am, me, calling these Catholic priests in Philadelphia and saying, "You've got to be kidding." No. It can't be that way.
It can't. And look, I'm sure there's some money involved in all these, with all these rituals. I thought if I was ever cremated, for my last meal, I would eat popcorn and then see what would happen.
Yeah, there you go.
I would just eat the kernel. Right. Yeah, maybe I would pop in the oven.
And you're the one who wants, though, to be set on a raft out on the bay.
I like the Viking thing.
Yeah.
Flaming. Very, yeah. Very, very appropriate. Let's see. I did run into Donald Trump naked and with no balls. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that was a Jungian. Castro Street.
And Scott Wiener is all in favor of a naked Donald Trump. Just so long as it's a statue and has no balls.
The
irony. And he's going to preserve that, but it's not okay for a real person to be naked.
The irony. And, it's all for press. Well, speaking about press now, DCCC and the continuing struggles, I'll go first. Here's what I think. I think that the reform slate, as we know it, of course, we went as a strategy for name recognition, which means that some people are a little raggedy around the edges about are they or are they not progressive. Fine, that was a given. But thinking about some of the things that happened that evening, some of the outcomes, but also some of the, attempted blackmail and all kinds of goings on. Part of it is theater and it's democracy. But then some of it is not very healthy. And the DCCC's process is malleable, and I think if we are going to reform, and there may be disagreements with who's going to endorse whom amongst that kind of, but there's another kind of reform. And why is the election vote process the way it is? Who knows? That's probably a bylaw thing. I was talking to Burton. There was a time when the DCCC could not endorse.
That's right. They sued. They actually filed a lawsuit to get the right to endorse.
I think it was Louise Renee over. But anyway, I like the endorsement thing, but we need to be smart and we need to find out whether it's ranked choice, whether it's no officios or officios don't. With all due respect, why should Jackie Speier have a deciding vote on the supervisor in District 11? And, this would be for everybody's good because, truthfully and politely, if someone's around – and they're around and you see them and you don't really question, or maybe they helped you with stuff. So then all of a sudden, as an ex officio who's been around a long time, you probably owe people or it's personal or you don't want it. I want something that helps that as well. I'm not particularly happy with the ex officios. I know as an ex officio, I really did not look forward to the DCCC votes. Also, I question how representative it really is.
Well,
either side could lodge that question, and I think that that's appropriate.
Well, it used to be.
But
what we had this whole fight, remember, about wanting to add more elected members and more grassroots members, well, why don't we just get rid of the ex officios altogether and just have the entire thing be made up of locally elected people?
Or
the ex officios are welcome to come, but they don't get to vote.
Well, they eat the pot brownies. They might make them nice.
Yes.
I don't know. I think Tom Shea could use a little sedative laxative. Anyway, that's my new sedative laxative.
The other thing that was interesting about this is I think, you know, all of our friends on the left have got to get it together and realize that there are six races this fall that matter, that it's not just D1 or it's not just D9 or it's not just this, that we have to win. The left has to win all six.
Yeah.
And if you're missing the boat in District 11 for whatever reasons and you're not endorsing Kimberly Alvarenga, well, that lost district counts as much as losing another one.
I thought the Latino caucus community, you know, the people, the activists who were there and then beyond, I think they made a very good point. So Kimberly did say, they said, why didn't they endorse him? And Kimberly said it was a strategy. The alternative was him. And this was a coup because,
yes,
you know, we had to twist some people's arms. So, and they said, and this is right. Okay, why was it that way? And
right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Why did
Tom Amiano vote no endorsement? Well, you know, because it's a strategy.
It's a strategy.
But why couldn't it? They're very smart. Yeah.
And also, they made a very good statement saying, you know what? When Aaron Peskin was running for office, the entire Latino community, the progressives, all got behind him. When we elected the reform slate to the DCCC, the LDC and the progressive Latino community was all there, 100%.
That's right.
And now, why are we even arguing about this?
Teflon,
that's the question I have.
Teflon. No, people need to be held accountable. And sometimes I'll get heat, too. What the fuck? Speaking of Aaron Peskin, yes.
I believe he's out of town.
Yeah. Oh, is he out of town? Was he out of town during that meeting? Poor guy.
No, he was there. And, you know, I was afraid Ken Trey from the teachers union and him were going to come to blows when he didn't vote for Mark Sanchez and didn't provide the 15th vote to get Mark Sanchez, who the teachers union really likes, the endorsement. And I asked him why.
But then they did.
Yeah. They went back. They had to do it again.
I see. Yeah.
And I asked Aaron why, and he said, the motherfucker didn't bother to call me. Well, all right, I understand, you know, Mark Sanchez should have called him up and asked for his endorsement, but still, the teachers union, the progressive, you know, it's like, come on, let's look at the big picture here.
Well, that's what I mean about the entitlement of all of us who are elected. And again, you know, my little phrase, if you're entitled, me included, you all of a sudden you're so vulnerable, you know, because you're so entitled. How could this happen? So things get taken out of proportion. Overall, we did good.
Yep.
There was a price to pay.
But overall, we did good. And overall, the dramatic change from what it was before the reform slate won, just watching Tom Shea and Mary Jung sitting there realizing, whoa, holy shit, we don't run things anymore. We can't play our little games. We can't do our little shit. And we can't screw everything up because we don't have the majority anymore. That alone was worth the 6.5-hour price of admission.
Like John Burton said, this is the shittiest election I've ever seen or something. Because it got so over-the-top negative, yes.
Yeah. And that's going to be, you know, it's going to be going on this fall. I mean, we're already starting to see. Scott Wiener is going to run an entirely negative campaign against Jane Kim.
Yeah.
He's already made it clear. And I think we're going to see some negative attack pieces on the progressive candidates. I mean, that's what we're going to see this fall, you know.
Oh, remember that out of the ballpark piece on the five women of color? I mean, I don't know who instigated that, but I think that mentality will still be here.
Oh, yeah. And we'll be facing
that. November?
Yeah.
It might turn everybody off.
But that's the problem is that the conservatives want to turn everybody off because that the lower vote turnout helps them.
Vote by mail.
You can vote by mail. It's easy to vote.
I like that. I like
Oregon.
Vote
by mail. Or just walk down to City Hall after voting opens and walk into the basement and vote. You don't have to vote on election day. It's easy to do. You can vote by mail. You can just fill out the application. It's easy. There's no excuse to not take the few minutes it takes. And by the way, in case you're wondering how to vote in some of these complicated endorsements, propositions, Proposition A through X plus RR, The Guardian will be doing, the Bay Guardian will be
Perfect.
Doing an endorsements issue,
yeah.
And it will be coming out before the absentee ballots drop, and we will be giving our advice on how to vote on all of these issues, some of them big and some of them small.
X. We're up to, but it sounds like it's pornography. Eggs.
Proposition. No, eggs. I think that's O. No, that's
that
not O. That's
okay.
always
the
Lennar.
Condoms. Oh, which is Lennar. No, that's that is pornographic.
The state. It's a state legislation around the condoms.
That's right. Yeah. We should talk about the state ballot too. Schools open. I would like to say in June. I said school is out, and so is your teacher. And so now the class is the LGBT studies class is working in a number two or three, I guess, comprehensive high schools. So they're expanding.
Fantastic.
Against some institutional pushback, from gay officials who work for the school district, but they're very cautious and unnecessarily so, I feel. And Carranza will be disappearing soon, taking his guitar to, of all places, is it Houston?
I think so.
Yeah.
Which means we need a new superintendent. And we've done pretty well the last couple, but we've had some bad ones in the past.
Yeah, it's going to be messy. I think Mee Young, by the way, is an extremely competent person. My estimate, I do believe him when he says he doesn't want to be. It's not so much an Ed Lee thing where I'll never run again. So I think they'll probably be doing, the outside-inside thing. And November will be an important... Right?
That's right, because the people elected in November will be choosing the next superintendent.
Right, and I'm very supportive. The podcast that I... it's not a nonprofit. For Stefan, particularly.
Stefan Cook.
Yeah, and then Mr. Haney, Mr. Sanchez. But my advice would be, please have a campaign to Mr. Sanchez.
Yes.
And to Mr. Haney, we need to have further discussion about the commercialization.
Absolutely.
Of the schools. And
absolutely.
I think there's a lot of education that can happen there. And, he's a good guy, very good guy.
Well, thank you again for listening to the Tom and Tim Show. We've gone on a little longer than usual tonight, Tom, but that happens.
That's how it is.
And
looking forward to that naked statue of you on Cortland, Tim.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm ready to pose for it.
You have balls, my friend. I'll say that.
We'll
no one will dispute. You have balls.
We will see you next week.